Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verses 1 to 16, God's judgment on Gog initiated. One of the most intriguing and misunderstood prophecies in Scripture is the invasion of Israel by Gog. We view Ezekiel 38, 1 to 16, the prophecy of the initiation of God's judgment on Gog, to determine what nation is involved, when the event will occur, why, for our insight and edification. Before doing that, I want to read the passage itself. Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, and all of his bands, the house of Togarmah, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back with a sword, from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. To take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the Gentiles may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Okay, very intriguing section of Scripture. The Lord commanded Ezekiel to prophesy against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. We identify these parties as being Russia and her allies as follows. The Jewish historian Josephus identified Magog as the land of the Scythians, the region north and northeast of the Black Sea and east of the Aral Sea that is now occupied by Russia. And Gog may be the ruler of Magog, so God had Russia in mind here. Russia's allies here are Iran, the word Persia, would cover that part of territory that is modern Iran. Sudan and northern Ethiopia, that's Kush. Both of those nations are comprised of the ancient people of Kush. Libya, which is the word put, and Turkey. Turkey, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Beth Togarmah all deal with various places in Turkey or Asia Minor. Now, there have been a number of scholars who have thought that the Gog here is the Gog and Magog of Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, where Gog and Magog, the nations gather up around the city of Jerusalem after the messianic kingdom of Christ. But Revelation 20, verses 8 and 9 is not the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38. The Revelation 28 invaders are called Gog and Magog since their purpose is the same as that of Ezekiel 38. They're invaders. Satanic moves to destroy the power and subjects of God's theocracy. That's why they're called Gog and Magog. Now, we know that they're not the same because the invaders in Revelation 28 are people worldwide. In fact, the people in Gog and Magog there are gathered from all the four quarters of the earth. That's the nations from around the world. The nations here in Ezekiel 38 only come from the north parts, plus these other specific nations that are not all of the nations that existed at the time of Ezekiel anyway. So they're two different events, but there are two efforts apparently by Satan to try to destroy the people of God and therefore to destroy the theocracy of God. Now this invasion has not yet occurred, for Russia and these other nations have never unitedly invaded Israel. Just when the invasion occurs has been extensively debated by teachers, but due to the following reasons, we believe that Scripture reveals it will occur in the middle of the future Great Tribulation period. There's a 7-year Great Tribulation period. This occurs, we believe, 3.5 years into it, and here's why. The invasion occurs when Israel has returned to her own land, and that occurs, of course, in the Tribulation period. Actually, a lot of people of Israel have returned to the land right now, but apparently in the Great Tribulation there's going to be an even greater group of people. So it could be something that might occur now, or it could occur in the Tribulation when Israel is in the land. It also happens when Israel is at peace in Ezekiel 38:11. That is not true now. We know that because remember Daniel 9:26. That verse says, until the end, this is after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, until the end time, which would be the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9, there's going to be desolation and wars. So there's going to be unrest. And to this day in Israel, every now and then they're shooting off rockets, and you know there's unrest that's there. It's not a real situation of peace. So Israel will be at peace, however, in the first half of the tribulation, because in that particular time period, the Antichrist makes a 7-year peace protection treaty with her, according to Daniel 9:27. The man or the prince that will come, that's the Antichrist, he will make a peace, a 7-year peace treaty with her. Now, we know the Antichrist is going to break the treaty halfway through it, but he makes that peace treaty, so Israel will be living in peace. The invasion occurs in the latter days of Israel, according to Ezekiel 38:8, when the nation lives in unwalled villages without bars and gates, according to Ezekiel 38:11. Now that occurs today, but it did not occur in ancient Israel. It's never occurred in ancient Israel. It occurs in modern times. Now, we thus hold that this invasion occurs when Israel is at peace, before the Antichrist attacks her, and that this invasion comes in the middle of the Great Tribulation period, just before the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and tries to destroy her. What you have is, you have a situation where you have the kings of the north and of the south, kings of the east and in the west. The north is basically Russia and her allies. Then the king of the south will be apparently Egypt itself. Then the king of the west is the Antichrist over the western territory. And then you have the kings of the east, which would be the oriental peoples. There would be 200 million men on horseback. They're all demon-possessed, which is a tough group to deal with. What happens, Russia comes down as the first part of the invasion, and she's destroyed by God in this particular battle. That causes an imbalance to occur, so the Antichrist then feels free to go ahead and break his treaty with Israel. He comes in and invades the Holy Land, turns to go towards the south. But then he hears bad tidings out of the east, where you've got China, Japan, and Korea all coming. So he turns back. And just as west gets ready to meet east and everybody kills each one off, Christ comes back and he stops it. And he actually salvages the human race. So that's, in a nutshell, what the Armageddon is all about. But this invasion has yet to occur. Now, the reason for this invasion is God's use of it to judge the invaders in a way that will magnify himself before the world, a motive that fits God's use of the Great Tribulation period as taught in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. We know we just read here in Ezekiel 38, verse 16, where God says, I will bring you against my land that the Gentiles may know me, when I shall be sanctified in their eyes, O God. God's going to sanctify himself or set himself apart as the true God. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 4, God claimed that he would forcibly cause the invaders to enter Israel, figuratively putting hooks into their jaws and drawing them down into the Holy Land. Apparently, there's going to be some pressure that is involved to get all these nations to do what they're going to be doing. And most scholars feel that it will be economic pressure. Right now, Russia is not in a good situation economically. She's struggling. And a lot of these other nations also, especially with COVID, have suffered a lot of impoverishment. Poor people have gotten poorer through the process. So they think that that may be the thing. Then the motive for the invaders will be to take spoil, lusting after Israel's wealth. We read that in verses 11 and 12. Now that's very interesting, because Russia has been the main exporter of Marxist ideology that holds to be the forced redistribution of wealth, taking from the haves to give to the have-nots. That's classic Marxism. So God's judgment will likely focus on evil Marxist ideology. See, Russia will be applying her ideology, and if she feels she can get by with it, she will, take. And she won't have any moral qualms about taking what belongs to someone else. That's very deeply embedded within her Marxist ideology. And these other nations will be in favor of it as well. Now, the invaders will be destroyed by God, not men, as God himself will cause a mental derangement of the invaders so that they will slay one another. He will bring disease to kill them, and a rainstorm with hail and fire and brimstone to rain down upon them to destroy their entire coalition. I'm going to skip ahead just briefly to look at verses 21 and 22 of Ezekiel 38. God says, I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And this often happened in the Old Testament times, when God would cause the people to start fighting one another. And I will plead against him with disease and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many Gentiles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So this is a battle that's not going to be won by Israel. It's not going to be won by anybody protecting Israel except God. And God's going to crush this coalition. And it makes sense that he would do that during the Great Tribulation period, when God's already doing a lot of other things and showing a lot of fireworks. So it fits. It fits that time. When the invaders enter Israel, Arabs, Sheba and Dedan, refer to Arabs of Saudi Arabia, and the merchants of southern Spain, Tarshish of southern Spain, will object, asking the invaders if they were coming to take spoil. However, God will have worked to lure the invaders into Israel that he might use his destruction of Russia and her allies as a means to sanctify himself before the nations of the world. Now this fits, like I said, what God is going to be doing in the Great Tribulation, because the people in the Great Tribulation will know what God's up to. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, therefore, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, that's God the Father, and from the wrath of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There are not going to be too many atheists in the Great Tribulation. They're going to know pretty well what's going on, because it's evident in Scripture. So the lesson is, for their long and many sins, God will cause Russia and her allies to invade Israel in the middle of the Great Tribulation, that he might destroy them himself, punishing sin while sanctifying himself before the world. So an application, though it may take a long time, God always metes out justice. So may we rest in his justice and not fret over evil parties. I put Psalm 37 in parentheses. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall perish in the way. There's a whole psalm on that thing. We should never get frustrated because evildoers seem to be doing well. Number two, since Russia has been the main exporter of Marxist ideology that so unbiblically sanctions the forcible redistribution of wealth, God's severe punishment of her will occur for her effort to apply that ideology, specifically when they want to apply it against his own people by taking the goods of his own people. So may we firmly hold to Scripture in support of private property ownership. I do this a lot, especially in the Sunday morning sermons. I've been hitting pretty heavily against Marxist ideology, but we're facing a lot of it in our own country right now in the political spectrum, and it's affecting even evangelicals. There's a whole group of evangelicals who have begun to develop Marxist ideology in their theology, and it's really sickening. I never thought I would live to see that. I remember back in the 50s, the McCarthy hearings. I remember that as a child, hearing about them. We were on furlough one time, and he warned that Marxists were in the area, and a lot of people felt that he was blowing a horn unnecessarily, but he turned out to be right. And there have been a lot over the years. But it's a very godless ideology. It tries to tear down all religious faith, all belief in God. It tries to destroy the family unit as we have it, morality, everything. It's very anti-Christian. And so we need to be hold firmly to Scripture in support of private property ownership, and also as opposed to Marxist ideology. I really firmly believe that God is going to be judging us specifically here in front of the whole world. So the whole world's going to get a clear picture that God has a tiff specifically with Russia, with what she's been doing all these years. So may we trust the Lord, may we rely on the Lord, and may we hold firmly to biblical truth.